Very light jets are coming soon. Crew resource management training is here now. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Paul Hinton, who is the CEO of SaferJet, aviation training and education. We're going to talk a little bit about crew resource management and its application in the very light jet market. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Let me ask you, first of all, to give us the very brief resume of both you and SaferJet as a company.
So my personal resume is Air Force pilot training, and I flew in the Air Force, transports and fighters, and then spent a 33-year career with American Airlines as a pilot and as a captain, check airman. Ran the standards program for the 76, was a fleet manager for the A300 and the F100 for American Airlines, and introduced the 777 into service, and then took a job at Boeing as the vice president of aviation training at Alteon, its flight training subsidiary. I retired from that job in August of last year, and because I am so excited about the future of the very light jet market, took a position with SaferJet.
Now, how long has SaferJet been around? It's been around, obviously, since before you were involved with it, but how far back does the company go?
The company's about 5 years old. They were originally formed to provide and apply aviation methods to the medical business, specifically crew resource management practices. They eventually split that off, and the aviation side went back into the aviation business and did CRM, threat and error management programs, and single crew resource management programs for both the business aviation industry and for commercial aviation. And ultimately, in my capacity at Boeing, I contracted with them to provide that service for both Jeppesen and for Alteon. Ultimately, we also contracted with them to provide training programs for the very light jet market, which Boeing was then pursuing. Boeing left that market in about 2004, and after I retired, I was approached by the folks from SaferJet, and we've turned the direction of the company. We will still do crew resource management, single resource management. They apply so well in the very light jet market, but specifically, we're aiming at being a training provider in the very light jet market and that market alone.
Now, when you say that market alone, how much different is that market from the requirements that will exist in the technologically advanced airplane piston market?
So I don't think it's different. I don't think the airplanes make the difference. In point of fact, I think in many ways, jet airplanes are easier to fly than prop airplanes. The performance of the airplanes may be a problem. I think the real issue for us is not only for the owner-operator, but for the entire spectrum of people who'll be using this airplane as a business tool, the taxi operation. We're going to see a reduced level of experience in the cockpit, and that's going to create some problems for us in training, both the initial training and the recurrent training for the folks that come on board.
Let me back up a little bit and ask you, in that model, where new pilots are going to come from?
You asked the $64,000 question. Boeing and Airbus both have forecasted for the commercial market alone that will need 17,000 new pilots a year for the next 20 years. We lack the capacity to produce that number of pilots. That's the reason that you see both Alteon and CAE going into the multi-crew license program, which, of course, was originally with the IKO folks in Montreal. And that program was targeted at taking a pilot from the street to the right seat of a commercial airplane in 13 months. There is no reason that can't be effective. The military has been doing that effectively for a very long time. The trick is to integrate that type of philosophy across the board so that we can ramp up the number of people, and then to increase the level of discipline so that the overall standardization and quality of training programs, regardless of where we're delivered in our country and elsewhere, is the same. But it's going to be a difficult problem.
Tell me who's going to fly very light jets. There seems to be some... one FAA official has joked on more than one occasion that dentists will darken the skies, unquote, which seems to play into the stereotype of the people who fly high-end piston planes now. But I see more air taxi activity bubbling under the surface than anything else. What will that market look like if you break it down into a pie chart? Who will be flying these things in terms of individual pilots?
I think you're going to see three things. You're going to see the owner-operator, and it may be a single person buying the airplane. It may be a group of individuals sharing the ownership, partnership of owning the airplane. And they will be people that have to have sufficient means to pay the $2 to $3 million cost of one of these aircraft and to pay the cost of operating it. I think you're going to see, number two, I think you're going to see in the business market, companies that could not afford to have corporate aircraft buy these airplanes because they will see that it's a way to save manpower, because they can go direct to where they're going to conduct business and come back. So that's the virtue we saw in the business aircraft market earlier. And finally, and I think the vast majority of them are going to be people that operate air taxi operations. And I liken that to my comment for it is, after deregulation, we abandoned a lot of small cities in the United States because it was not economically feasible to serve those cities. And service is going to return to those cities in the guise of the very light jet market. And you may see, as an aside, something like the arrangement that Lufthansa now has with Boeing business jets in Europe, where as a part of a first-class ticket to go on a long-haul flight overseas, they include a trip in from wherever you are on a Boeing business jet to get you to the Lufthansa threshold departure. And I think you may see that push down into the business class seats on their airplanes using very light jet aircraft as a model.
So do you have any kind of feel for how much of the market will be in each of those sections of the pie?
My guess is right now the owner-operators will occupy 20% of that marketplace, 20 to 30%. The corporations buying it, maybe 10 to 15, and the balance will be air taxi operations. I see an incredible future, not just here, but I'm aware of some organizations that have started up looking at this operation in Europe and some that have started up in Asia. And that really surprised me. I was not surprised by the United States. It's begging for this service. I was a little surprised by Europe because the availability of rapid rail service would tend to militate against the argument for the very light jet, but apparently I have not examined that marketplace thoroughly enough. But Asia surprised me. I would have thought, given the general distances and the discipline they maintain over their airspace, that you would not see that, yet we are seeing that. That indicates there's an underlying business model for it in a lot of markets.
Talking today with Paul Hinton, who is the CEO of SaferJet, which is a company that deals in training and education, and especially crew resource management, applying to the very light jet market that's upcoming. We'll talk more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927, or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this AeroNews special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Paul Hinton, who is the CEO of SaferJet. Paul, we talked a little bit about the market in general. I want to talk a little bit about specifics in terms of who's going to need the training your company provides and how you're going to provide it. First of all, let me throw a hypothesis out there and let you respond to it. When we look at a big chunk of the pie being air taxis and a much smaller chunk of the pie being owner-operators in the very light jet market as it's going to develop, it seems to me that we're going to wind up with something that we don't see in the rest of aviation, and that is that the owner-operators may actually be the guys with more experience and qualifications than some of the air taxi operators being hired as that market explodes.
That's an incredibly interesting proposition, and indeed, in some cases, that may be exactly so. I think the issue for the air taxi operators is going to be maintaining a salary scale and a benefit scale that makes it attractive to continue in the operation with them, instead of being siphoned off in the normal process up to the regionals and onto the commercial airlines. But across the board, the model is the approach we're taking, and I think one that will augur well for the industry is the trick is to treat everybody as if you were qualifying them to fly for an airline. And if you do that, and you're rigorous in your approach to it, then we ought to be able to solve the problem of lower levels of experience. Training will attack that problem, and we can attack it with some follow-on programs like flight operations quality assurance programs.
Tell me about crew resource management training as it applies to the airplane that can be flown by one guy.
Oh, this is a, I flew fighters in the Air Force, and it's a, anybody who has, it's terribly different. If you're on the wing, your job in life is to stay where you are. If you're leading the airplanes, your job is to plan the navigation in front of you, plan the mission in front of you. When you do that, you have to break that mission down into its parts, and the essence of the essence of the probe is, of the problem is to assign priorities to what you have in front of you. The single pilot resource management is an attempt to get at the issue of what is the most important thing you need to do next. What do you need to bring with you, both mentally and physically, in the airplane to allow you to accomplish what you intend to do? And how do you avoid distractions that can be dangerous?
I have to observe that this may not turn out to be as different as it sounds from the fighter pilot model, because a lot of the technology finding its way into very light jets now essentially gives you any number of wingmen. They just don't happen to be physically in the plane with you.
So I agree that I have a very old light airplane, 1952 vintage, and I have a little Garmin 296 in it. And my little Garmin 296 solves a lot of the problems that I used to have fumbling through pieces of paper in the cockpit with me. So what we used to do, and it was good practice, is you would take a map, and if you're going to go somewhere, you'd make a strip map so you could roll the map forward as you went. Well, Garmin does that for me now. And in the very light jet market, the airplanes have a great deal of technical sophistication with regard to flight control and navigation, which frees the pilot up to manage his flight. And this has always been a problem in the single-piloted operation. Can't let go of it long enough to plan ahead.
Tell me about SaferJet and how you're approaching this. First of all, it's a fairly established company, and it's moving into an area that looks, from all indications, like it's going to explode as a market share. Who are going to be your customers, and what can SaferJet do for them?
Our customers will be people who we will train people who buy airplanes of manufacturers that we contract with. So we'll do the initial qualification. I think the insurance industry will drive what's required for recurrent, and I think it will be much in excess of a biannual flight review. And we will do the recurrent training for them as well. We intend to keep them up to date with technological newsletters. We intend to apply the principles of crew resource management and single resource management to the training programs as are faced by them. We will use the best tools, not cutting edge. Nobody in the training industry willfully uses cutting edge. The best mature technology and apply it properly to provide the best kind of training for people so that we're able to bring them into the loop and keep them into the loop and provide support for them up to and including mentor pilots to fly with them when their experience levels are lower and navigation exercises to allow them to work in airspace they may not be familiar with. So in that regard, we would provide physiological training, upper air navigation training, high performance weight and balance, because these airplanes all fit that description.
Now, you're working with Hillwood Development to build a significant facility at the Alliance Airport in Texas, which tells me that you're planning for at least some major component of what you offer to be on-site simulator or other training. Tell us about that side of the business.
So working with Hillwood, our target is to create not only a place to train those folks with whom SaferJet contracts, but also to create a very light jet training center of excellence. I would hope to induce some of the other training organizations to place some portion of their capability in that place and to create an ecumenical approach to the training of the whole very light jet community, because we cannot afford an unsafe introduction of these airplanes, regardless of the type of airplane. And in that vein, we can compete on execution, but we should never compete on the content of the programs. So the size of the building will depend on how many organizations besides SaferJet wish to occupy the space. We're looking at building a 4-to-8-bay simulator building at Alliance with access to the runway, because it will very often include actual flying training as well as simulator training. And we will use Level D simulation, which we suggest to the industry as in general that should be used in this environment.
Have you had any contact with the insurance industry to find out what their requirements will be? Are underwriters already looking at this?
We have, and the answer is they absolutely are, and I believe that the insurance industry will drive the standard for very light jet training. I think the essence of the problem is that we need to get, and I think we're moving in that direction, we need to get the training agencies, the manufacturers, the insurance industry, and the government together to make sure that we're writing rational and effective rules for the training requirements for very light jets, and I think we have the opportunity to do that.
Cirrus, you have the option of having a pilot come with the plane for the first year. Are there any other manufacturers who are out on the edge of this thing with you guys?
That is exactly a service that we call that the mentor program, and it will definitely be offered by us. from what we see, it would be cheaper to pay for a mentor pilot, not to mention a lot safer, than it would be to pay the insurance the increased insurance costs for the failure to have one. We see that as a very effective way for someone to take a delivery of an airplane that may be a real step in performance for the pilot, and to take that step very safely.
Now, very light jets have a lot of the same issues as piston-powered, technologically advanced airplanes. Are you going to limit it to the jet market, or do those markets overlap from your standpoint? Is it going to be just based on being able to equip for simulators, or will there be parts of this program applicable to the piston market?
So the difficulty is that in order to use simulation, you have to have an economic base for it. So there have to be sufficient deliveries to warrant level D simulation, because the cost of a level D simulator is between $8 and $10 million. So you have to be able to recoup that investment. But the principles involved, the training principles, really don't vary whether it's piston or jet aircraft. The problem is the same. In many ways, I can make a case for a jet airplane being easier to fly than piston aircraft, and the manufacturers of the very light jets have gone very far down the road to make these airplanes really friendly and comfortable for the pilots. Control responses, speeds, handling characteristics. The difference is you've got one lever to push instead of three, so in many ways that's an easier proposition.
Paul Hinton is the CEO of SaferJet. You're going to be heavily involved in aviation training and education for the very light jet market. Paul, we appreciate the preview, and we will watch with great interest as this unfolds.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.